Bridgeport's L'Ambiance Plaza collapse. Remembered. Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600.
I am so honored this morning to talk to Richard's two daughters, Paula and Patty, who are here this morning. Paula and Patty, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. I know your dad is so proud of the fact that you're speaking in his honor. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Talk to us a little bit about your dad. I mean, who was he? I remember talking to you ladies last year, and I'm a baseball nut myself, and I know your dad loved the game, right?
Absolutely. He played all through his younger years, middle age years into adulthood, and we also played as well because he loved it so much that if we didn't play, we probably weren't going to be part of the family. So he was also drafted by the Minnesota Twins. And so he had a shot at going to professional baseball. It didn't end up happening, but he had the ability. So he just loved baseball in general and watched it almost every night, whenever it was on.
He was a big Red Sox fan.
Was that cool with you guys, or were you Yankee fans?
We were Red Sox fans. My father was from Boston. His family was from Boston, so we are still Red Sox fans.
Very nice. I know, you know, what's even more heartbreaking, and I might be wrong in this, but Paula and Patty, was your dad supposed to be at L'Ambiance? Like, was that one of his assignments?
No, actually, he had his boss had asked him that day to do him a favor and go down and bring the paychecks to the workers. And he was literally with going in the door into the lobby to drop off the paychecks for the men that worked for him and his boss. And the building collapsed, and he didn't get back out the door.
How old were you?
I was just graduating college. I was 21 years old.
And I was 18. I was just ready to graduate high school.
I can't imagine that 34 years later, it's any easier. I am so sorry for your loss. I can't imagine... I can't imagine. I really can't.
Yeah, it still is really hard. We think of them every day, and especially today, every year. Yeah. He's always in our thoughts, and he always will be.
And we're so honored that they have this report ceremony every year because it was a really important event in many people's lives, not only ours, and we appreciate that. It gets held every year.
And it's my understanding you both, for a second year, are you laying the ceremonial wreath down this morning?
Yes, that's correct.
That's so beautiful. What do you think, with your dad's personality and clearly a very hardworking man, family man, I mean, you speak so highly of him, he sounds amazing, I feel like I know him. You know, like, what would he say? What would he say about, you know, today and the way your lives turned out and everything? You know, imagine if he was here these last 34 years.
What I miss the most, too, is we both have children, and he never got to see his grandchildren, and he always wanted to have grandchildren, and he was very much a family man, so... I miss that.
And I think he would tell us that he was proud of us, that we, you know, took care of our mom when he was gone. And we still take care of our mom now. And, you know, we take care of each other. That's what we have. And it is sad that, you know, our children did not get to meet him. But they know him. They go with us to the grave. They see pictures of him, and we really do keep him as part of our life even to today, and we'll do that for the rest of our lives.
Paula and Patty, how's your mom?
She's in a nursing home, and she's got Alzheimer's, and she's hanging in there, but, you know, it's a terrible disease, and we're just making the best of it.
And we visit with her twice a week, so, you know, she's doing the best she can for the disease that she has.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paula and Patty, first of all, want to thank you both for your strength. I know your dad is so proud of who you both are and the fact that you've continued his legacy. And I want to thank you so much for sharing his story on the air and for being with us every year. I know this is the second year you coming on the show, and I just so appreciate having the chance to talk to you both. God bless you both, and I thank you both again so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Today is a very somber day in the city of Bridgeport because it was 34 years ago today that the L'Ambiance Plaza collapse happened. 28 construction workers died that day. And months later, actually, one of the two, they called them moles, people who actually could go in through the rubble and look for other victims. One of those moles actually passed away. We count that as the 29th victim impacted by the L'Ambiance collapse. And actually, this morning, as I was coming in, sort of preparing the show, since we're doing a special coming up at 9 o'clock, Storm and Norman Gino, who's the host of the Italian House Party on Sunday mornings, came in. And Norm, you remember exactly where you were when this happened.
Yeah, the studios of Weeby, and this is prior to our marriage with WICC, Weeby went away. We're in Norwalk. We're on our way to Shelton that morning to go to a music test, my boss and myself, and we had go up Route 8, and I just happened to look over in the morning and saw this thing, and I saw the actual construction. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was the morning of. Little did I know that that afternoon that whole thing was the slab construction aspect of it, and it collapsed. When we're on the air in Norwalk, we got a call from somebody who was in the AT&T building, which is right across the street from the disaster in Bridgeport. And somebody said, you know, the building just collapsed, and we had no idea what it was. And then we found out. And the very first thing that we all did at Weeby at that point in time was turn on WICC. And it was, you know, such a tragic accident and a horrible day in the history of Bridgeport. But it was also one of the shining lights of the history of WICC. Everyone got together, every news person that was available was there. Tiny Markle, he used to do a talk show in the evenings here at WICC, legendary. He stayed on forever, and Al Warren and Sue Evans, Becky Sucup, Tim Quinn, all the names that you grew up with on WICC were all there. And I remember, you know, putting word out. They were asking for anyone for hard hats and anybody who had boots and gloves just so they can go through the rubble of that horrible day. And I can't believe it's 34 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and isn't it crazy, Norm, that you had never really acknowledged or I guess seen it before? But that morning, ironically,
I saw it. I mean, I just happened to look up, and the other ironic part is that we had a video camera, primitive, in the back of our car because we're on our way to do a video thing in Shelton. And, yeah, I never even knew that place existed as I drove by there that morning.
I mean, what did it look like? Obviously, this was prior to the collapse. You had seen it for the first time. What were your, initial thoughts? Because it was huge.
I saw four metal
Bar things that,
yeah,
like, the,
yeah,
the like almost that, like,
like a thing
support
in
bars,
yes,
almost. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a gas station when they raise a car. That's what I remember seeing. And the slabs. And I just happened to look up as we're going on Route 8. And then little did we know years later that when we became sisters with WICC and Weeby 108 together, that we were in the old Levine Co. Factory building in Bridgeport, which is directly across the street from from L'Ambiance. And we would see, you know, St. Augustine's was incredible that day. The Colby Cathedral was a morgue. And then we'd see every anniversary in the park there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's a sad remembrance, and all the folks that got together to try to save lives that day, and mm-hmm. can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I remember, I think Al came on last year, and he had said he was like literally looking at it while he was broadcasting. Like he and it's just crazy. Like it's I just can't even imagine or fathom, you know, that day. And it's something that, like, as soon as this morning pops up every year, people just go right back to that place. It's wild.
And ICC, WICC was really, again, the only place you could turn to for coverage, and seeing all the cranes for months and months afterwards. If you're traveling down 95 through Bridgeport, you look over and floodlights and the cranes that were always there cleaning it up. And now it's... you know, it's an apartment complex. There's some stores over the exact spot, and there's so many people that have no idea that today is a pretty sad historical day in the city of Bridgeport.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Norm, I know you have other jobs, obviously, especially on Weeby 108 in the morning. They're all waiting for you over there, so thank you
for
popping
over. And then Sunday
over.
Morning, the Italian House Party
and
WICC 600, all my favorite Italian songs, and yours too.
Yes. Oh, I know. We love you in the mornings. Yes.
Thank
Can
you.
You play, if you don't mind, Shallow? My mom loves the Italian version of Shallow.
That is a great version of
it.
That song.
Yeah, she loves that. So
there's always some great ones that pop up, and it's like, well, I never heard this one before. So
yeah. No, we
Sunday
love you.
Morning's 9 o'clock here on WICC.
Cool,
thank
Norm.
You, Melissa.
Yeah,
you
of
sound
course.
Great.
Oh, you stop
I
it.
I love listening to you.
God, I adore you. Thank you, Norm. Today is the 34th anniversary where 28 construction workers, their lives were taken in a matter of seconds when this collapse happened. And to talk a little bit about what happened and where we are today, very excited to have on the air this morning Peter Carroll. Now, Peter is the former president of Local 488 IBEW. And Peter, my understanding, first of all, welcome to the show. My understanding is, I mean, this is a one day a year where this just, I have to imagine, pulls at your heartstrings and brings you right back to where you were 34 years ago today.
Yes, good morning, Melissa. Yes, it does. It seems like it was yesterday. I was the president of building trades for 14 years, and this tragedy lives with us, lives with everybody, every construction worker, mostly for all the people in Bridgeport, how their gratefulness to help us during that tragedy. It was a shame. Unfortunately, fortunately, they outlawed the lifting of slab construction here now, so that's no longer allowed. And we've got many, many laws passed for safety through OSHA and everything else that at that time. It's a tragedy that, like I said, still lives in my heart.
Peter, you know, after this happened, was it just something of complete disbelief? I mean, when you hear about these kind of collapses, this was something that in Connecticut's history, I mean, I don't know if we've ever seen anything to this magnitude. It's unbelievable.
Oh, no, this is the worst construction accident ever in the history of Connecticut, and one of the worst ones in the United States history on a construction site. It's like I said, like it still happened yesterday to me and all the people that were there on the site when it originally happened. We were working for the city of Bridgeport as electricians. We were sent there right away, and we turned and went back to the garage to get all the lights and everything for the night to try to help in the rescue.
It's just, it's unbelievable. I have to imagine, Peter, you were probably on site, I would think, for weeks. I mean, how long were you there working through this?
We were there every day. And all the unions had men come. We worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until we could recover everybody.
Wow.
It was a nonstop 24 hours.
Peter, you know, take me back. You were the president, you said, for the union for, you said, 47 years?
No. I was an IBEW member for 47 years. I was the business manager there for 13 years, and that's the head of the union, the business manager. And then I was the president of building trades for 13 years.
Okay, apologies. For 47 years. God bless you. That's amazing. when did it sort of click for you after this happened that this was something that could have been prevented or avoided completely?
Well, this is the first time we ever had a lift slab construction here in Bridgeport. So it was new to all of us. And when they pour the floors on the ground and the hydraulic lift them up, and then they would tie them in on that structure steel all the way up. But during that time, it went up a little bit, and it just shifted. The weight of the concrete shifted, and the building felt like box of toothpicks falling on the floor.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, so when we first were on the site, like maybe 10 minutes after that collapse, it was like, oh, my God. I never thought I'd see anything like this in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine.
It still lives with everybody that was in the trades at those days, and everybody there trying to get the cranes to come from the sewage plant where they were building in Bridgeport and the banks downtown where they were building. They brought all the cranes up there to try to get everything lifted off and everybody. But it's like I say, it was 24/7 till we got everybody out.
Peter Carroll is the former president of IBEW Local 488, and Peter. Every year you guys do a beautiful ceremony and a remembrance for the victims, the victims' families, some of them coming from out of state even to be here today. Last year, with the pandemic, obviously the ceremony couldn't happen to the full capacity that it usually does. And the same kind of goes for this year. How important is it that people know the history of what happened there? Because it was funny, earlier in the show, we actually had one of our hosts here on WICC who was working for Weeby at the time. He still does. Stormin Norman. He said after everything had happened, he goes, there's a building there now. And he's like, I don't even know if the people living there understand the history below their building. Like he's like, I don't even know if people know.
Well, there's a bronze statue outside that building with a construction worker with a hard hat, and there is a little insignia on there what it stands for. But you're correct; a lot of people don't. That's why the building trades every year take this day to remember our brothers that we lost on that day, and we try to make sure that everybody is aware of that. And thank the people like yourself and WICC and the Connecticut Post people that keep it alive for us, because a lot of people still hurt from this.
Yeah,
and also when you talk about kids coming and everything else, some of these kids never even knew their dad, or knew their grandfather, or knew mm-hmm. their uncles or brothers. They just didn't know them.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
It's terrible.
It is. Well, Peter, we appreciate the fact that you have the strength to come on to talk about this and to keep their memories alive and to continue just being such a voice in our community. I thank you so much for coming on this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And again, thank you very much for keeping this day alive for us.
It's truly my honor. Thank you so much. Peter Carroll, the former president of IBEW Local 488, right here on WICC 600. And right now, we are, of course, going to be checking in with Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim. So Mayor Ganim, today is a really tough day for Bridgeport residents, the surrounding area, of course, the families of the victims. Your thoughts on this day? You've obviously been in office long enough to know your city is really hurting this morning.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's 34 years, and I'm sure there's certainly a lot of people that either have come and moved into the city, maybe even weren't born 34 years ago, certainly that need to kind of help us mourn still, remember, and look at some of the positive that came out of this terrible, terrible tragedy that was recognized nationally, unfortunately, as a construction disaster that certainly took many lives and impacted families to this day. But also look at a little bit of positive that comes out, the reforms that went into place, the workplace safety issues that were raised and that were enhanced since and because of La Ambiance, so that in some ways it's never easy to never easy to lose a loved one, a friend, especially in that way suddenly, but to look at some little good that redeems kind of hopefully saving other lives since then.
Mayor Ganim, where were you when the collapse happened?
I was a young lawyer. I was actually in the courthouse. It's interesting how you can remember certain moments and certain times, even if they're in this case over 30 years ago. When something like that happens, you're kind of, I don't know, there's something that goes on in your brain that kind of stops and freezes that moment. Mm-hmm. So when you asked me, I didn't even have to pause. The Challenger? There's certain things that
Congressman
happen.
Himes said that too. That's so funny. He said the same thing. Yep.
Yeah, that you just kind of freeze frame in your mind. Maybe with a feeling associated with it, I don't know. I'm sure that happens with personal things in our lives or personal moments. This is more for me was wasn't really, I didn't know anybody particularly at the time. I just know that it was a terrible tragedy, and that, you know, as much as my moment is remembered as a frozen moment, it kind of, time kind of froze for the city at that time. There was so much uncertainty. There were days and weeks and months of you know, aftermath and unraveling and finding or not finding, and, you know, little positive came out afterwards, I mean, physically at the site. But there were heroes there, first responders, private industry, you know, just dropped everything. And all the protocols that would have said, oh, no, this isn't our responsibility, or we weren't a part of this, or, you know, why should we help? None of that happened. It was just the opposite. It was, I think people rose, and the city rose, and the leaders at the time, I think, in the midst of that tragedy, rose to the occasion and have continued to try and do that, I think, year in and year out ever since. Now, this year's, in the last couple, have been especially difficult, we know, because of COVID and many other factors, but it's prevented gatherings this year. And I want people to know that that doesn't mean that there isn't a remembrance. And I want to thank you and WICC for allowing us to have airtime together to kind of remember. And if families are listening, I'm sure they'll appreciate it. But there'll also be the laying of a wreath that has been done annually, the wreath laying by leaders from organized labor and community leaders. But it's not going to be a public event for a variety of reasons, COVID being one of them. But still, people need to know that this is not something that's just going to be, oh, we just forgot about it, or we don't remember.
I was going to say, Mayor Ganim, I it was interesting earlier in the show, we had one of our other hosts here who was working in Bridgeport at the time when this happened, and was saying, you know, I wonder if people who are now living in the building that's where L'Ambiance was supposed to be, like if they even realize what crumbled below them. And I know there's a statue there, but it's, you know, I do think Bridgeport tries to do a good job of never forgetting what happened 34 years ago.
And I think you're right. You know, it's just the way life is. I mean, 34 years is, in our calculation, is more than a generation, right? 25
sure.
years, I think,
sure.
is considered a generation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people, I got to believe, as we said, weren't even born,
yeah.
or were young, very young, and or that are new. They don't have to be new. They could be new to Bridgeport 20 years ago and
right.
not know much about L'Ambiance or that location. But you're right. The memorial is there, and there's probably people, I've been in that building a number of times, that may not, never even going in there, sometimes for meeting residents and so on, coffee hours, never really even engaged in the conversation,
sure.
unfortunately, now that I think of it, of the location, the site, the tragedy, and the remembrance. So I'm glad you brought that up, because next time I go there, I'm going to be reminded that it's something I should make sure the residents know about, just for their own edification, just for their own kind of awareness.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. Mayor Ganim, we so appreciate it, and we look forward to your 12 o'clock ceremony with the families and those who are impacted by this directly. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
on this morning.
Thank you so much. Thanks for honoring.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Of course. That's right. 34 years ago today, one of the most tragic construction accidents in Connecticut and in the U.S. happened right here in Bridgeport. And one of the things we continue to hear this morning is this idea of the slabs, the lift slab construction technique. And joining me now is Steve Biasi, who's the head of the OSHA office in Bridgeport. And Steve, can you explain what went wrong here and what has changed since then?
Well, first, good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me on this morning. Especially on this anniversary of the tragic L'Ambiance, disaster that occurred so many years ago on, on April 23rd of 1987, where 28 workers lost their lives. So, to answer your question in regards to the lift slab, again, you know, they were performing lift slab construction. Obviously, as everybody knows, the structure came down, unfortunately. There was an extensive investigation. Ultimately, the state of Connecticut put a law into effect to no longer allow lift lab construction in the state of Connecticut.
So was this something that was used commonly, like on other major construction projects, not just in Connecticut, but in other states, do you know?
Yes, this was a common practice years ago. It is still used in other parts of the country. Here in Connecticut, it's no longer used. As I said, it's no longer allowed to be used in Connecticut. In other parts of the country, it is maybe not regularly used, but it is used from time to time.
So
in other parts of the country.
Steve, how did things, I would think, you know, everything drastically changed after this. From your professional opinion, how have we grown in 34 years? How has OSHA grown?
So I think, you know, OSHA has certainly grown in, you know, expanding, you know, various standards that we have. During that time, they've, you know, we've put in additional standards. We still have a standard in place for lift lab construction. So we do actually have a standard that's on the books for that type of construction. And in years since, we've improved our fall protection standard, improved our scaffolding standard, just to name a few.
I mean, Steve, when you look back on what happened 34 years ago, I have to imagine it's something that's kind of burned in your memory, right? You know, what are sort of your thoughts on this day every year?
You know, every year, this day always, the entire day, it's a somber day to remember, you know, those workers who went to work that day, you know, again, you know, expecting to come home to their families at the end of the day, and they did not. It's very much a somber day, and every year, like I say, it's a somber day, and every day, you know, myself and the staff at the Bridgeport OSHA office, again, we just, you know, are committed to ensuring, you know, the tragedies like these, like this stuff does not happen in the workplace. So we do our best to ensure that, you know, workers are provided with a safe and healthful workplace.
Well, Steve, we appreciate everything that you and the office does to protect our local construction workers. Thank you so much for coming on this morning and sharing some words. Yeah. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. And if I can just say, if for the workers out there, if anybody has a concern about their workplace, you can certainly feel free to give our office a call. You know, they could, you know, our main number is 203-579-5581. There's also the 800 service for after hours, which is 800-321-OSHA or 6742.
Steve, we thank you so much.
So please reach out to us because, you know, again, unfortunately, you know, we still are having workers who unfortunately go to work and, are fatally injured at work. Mm-hmm. So our mission needs to continue on to ensure every worker can have a safe and healthful workplace.
Amen to that. I totally agree. Steve, such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Same here. Thank you, Melissa.
All right.